Welcome to this encore presentation of Catholic Answers Live. We appreciate you listening today and apologize that we're not here to take your live calls. However, we invite you to stay with us and enjoy the broadcast.
Second hour of this Wednesday broadcast. I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett today. Delighted to have you tuned in. And as we promised during the going into the top of the hour break, this hour we are going to focus on healing. It's just amazing, beautiful to see all the wonderful accounts of Jesus healing in the Bible. And we see healings, of course, in the Old Testament as well. And we see the apostles, Jesus gave them power to go out. He says greater things than these that he did, that even his disciples and apostles would do. So the question is, how do we understand healing today? And this could be physical healing, could be spiritual healing, emotional healing. A lot of ways that Jesus still heals today. He can certainly work through natural means, modern medicine and so forth. But how do you understand this? And maybe you've prayed for a healing and haven't gotten a response from God, or maybe God asks you to continue to carry the cross of sickness or an injury or some kind of suffering. We also see a lot of ministries that are built on promises of healing and so forth, and we don't stand in judgment of them. But how are they legitimate? You know, is God actually working through some of these faith healers? So a lot of different ways we can peel this onion here layer by layer today. So join us 1-800-888-318-7884, 888-318-7884 with your questions on healing. We have Dr. Mary Healy with us. She is a professor of scripture at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. She's also the general editor of the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture, and she's the author of its volumes on Mark and Hebrews, and she's the author of several books, including Scripture, Mercy, and Homosexuality, that's published by Catholic Answers, and also the book Healing, Bringing the Gift of God's Mercy to the World, put out by our Sunday Visitor. And in 2014, Pope Francis named Mary Healy to the Pontifical Biblical Commission. Quite an honor for her indeed. So, Dr. Healy, welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. How are you?
Thank you. I'm very well, thank you. Glad to be with you again.
Good. Well, this is, when you boil things down, Dr. Healy, you know, in terms of what people really would long for in life and pray for fervently, obviously healing really must jump out right and be kind of front and center because, we don't like suffering. We're called to embrace it. Sometimes we have to endure it for a long time, but this certainly must be on the minds and hearts of a lot of people, so I look forward to their questions. But you mentioned in your book that you're a lifelong Catholic, and you've prayed. You've had a special place in your heart praying for the sick all of your life. So how would you describe, your attitude or approach toward praying for the sick in earlier days?
Well, I have to say my approach has really changed over the last 4 or 5 years as I have really felt the Holy Spirit prompting me to study the whole topic of healing in the Gospels and in church history and today. And previously, my approach was that of many Catholics, that when you hear that somebody's sick, you pray for them. You hope that God will answer your prayer. I had even experienced praying with people, praying over people, asking the Lord for healing. Maybe only on a very rare occasion would I see a slight improvement, a headache, feeling a little better kind of thing. But as I have really delved into what the New Testament teaches about healing, particularly in its role in the proclamation of the gospel, in bearing witness to Christ, I have become more and more convinced that the Lord wants to heal and does heal far more often than we think, and that he has empowered his church with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, including the gift of healing, as the supernatural equipment that enables us to proclaim the gospel as he calls us to, which is not only in words, but in deeds of power, supernatural deeds that demonstrate the truth of the words, that Jesus Christ truly is alive, that he has truly defeated sin and death and Satan, that God loves each person and cares for each person in their need and in their suffering, and that God desires to bring us to the fullness of life. So I've had a whole new approach to healing and praying for healing over the last few years. And as I've traveled around and been with other people who are also praying for healing, I'm realizing the Lord is doing amazing healing all the time around us. And he loves to do it if we give him room by praying with expectant faith and with persevering prayer.
Wow, you need to bottle what you have discovered, Dr. Healy, because it could really transform a lot of lives. You know, you are a scripture scholar, so take us back to just, you know, the Bible, and obviously we see Jesus healing all the time, and we think, okay, well, he had come to earth. He was actually physically with us at that time. And so, you know, as far as, I don't know if we can put a percentage on it in terms of the things that Jesus did that are recorded in scripture, but healings are such a huge part of what he did when he was among us.
They sure are. They're a major part of his public ministry throughout all four Gospels. And previously, my approach might have been something like, well, he did healings and miracles primarily to prove that he is the Son of God, and he is truly the Messiah who has come. And certainly that's part of the reason, but when you read the Gospel accounts more carefully, you realize what they show as his primary motive in many of the cases of his healings was his compassion for the one person in front of him who was in desperate need. His human heart was moved with compassion. Again and again, the Gospels tell us that. And then if you look at how Jesus himself described his mission, he essentially gives his mission statement in Luke chapter 4, where he reads from the scroll of Isaiah this passage that says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." And then it goes on and it describes healing and opening the eyes of the blind and letting the oppressed go free, binding up the brokenhearted. And we realize this is not something peripheral to what Jesus came to do. This is at the heart of his mission. And in fact, I came across a beautiful quote by Pope Benedict in his book, Jesus of Nazareth, where he says, healing is essential to the mission of the apostles and to Christianity. In fact, Christianity is a therapeutic religion, a religion of healing. And of course, that's because the whole work of redemption is a work of healing at the very deepest level, the deepest wound of all, which is sin, and all the alienation from God and each other that it causes, and all of the effects of sin. The Lord came, he became incarnate, he died for us on the cross to undo all of those effects. And so his healings physically in the Gospels and emotionally are signs of that ultimate healing that he will accomplish on the last day when he raises us from the dead. So healing is really at the heart of the whole mission of Jesus.
Catholic Answers Live, second hour on this Wednesday. I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kella. Dr. Mary Healy is with us, scripture scholar. We will get to your calls here in just a few moments, talking about healing today. Anything you'd like to get clarification on in terms of the healings Jesus did in the Bible? How does Jesus work today? There could be, again, sometimes we pray, we want to pray for people for healing, not just in our own minds and hearts, but we may want to pray out loud with them and say, you know, Lord Jesus, please provide a healing. Or sometimes we may even feel bold enough to say, in the name of Jesus, I just claim a healing for this person. But are we bold enough? Do we have that faith that Dr. Healy talked about to take that step out in faith and really trust that expectant faith that Jesus is going to act? And how does the will of God fit into all of this as well, and accepting what God ultimately wants for us? Maybe a healing can be not necessarily physical, but interior. Maybe God will heal our hearts of something rather than physically. So please do join us at 888-318-7884. What about that, Dr. Healy, as far as should we, you've already alluded to this, you know, we should be expectant in realizing that God will still heal today. It wasn't something that was 2,000 years ago that we read about, quaint little stories in the Bible, but you know, God is all-powerful, and he is present in our lives today and still very active in healing people.
Yes. In fact, one of the things I came to recognize more recently is that we know that in the Great Commission, at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus tells his apostles go make disciples of all nations, teach them to observe all that I've commanded you, all that I've commanded you. And then if we look at what did he command them, one of the things was proclaim the kingdom, heal the sick. So he actually commands his disciples. In other words, it's not just an option. Now, I'm not saying that everybody is called to do it in the same way, but he commands his apostles and then a wider group of his disciples to do what is humanly impossible, which is to heal people, because he wants us to proclaim the good news of who he is and what he has come to do for us with such faith that the proclamation itself will be accompanied by works of power. And in fact, you alluded to what Jesus says in the Gospel of John, whoever believes in me will do the works I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. So Jesus has actually empowered his church in a far greater way than most of us realize. It's like we have this immense bank account that we don't realize we have access to of divine power. And it's precisely for reaching the broken, the hurting, the wounded, the lost sheep, those people who are so in need of coming to know the love of their Heavenly Father and his power in their lives, his power to bring them freedom and healing. And the Lord wants to do it through us, through ordinary folks, ordinary lay people, as well as priests and religious. And this is something that, you know, some Catholics are, it's outside their box. It's something we may not have heard before. But in fact, it's actually a return to normal. It's a rediscovery of the normal life of the church, which, as we see in the age of the apostles and then throughout the age of the church fathers, it was normal for the church to be constantly accompanied by miraculous healings and other works of power that soften people's hearts and convince them that this incredible message of the Christians is really true, that Jesus is alive and that he heals.
Very good. Well, we're going to hit the pause button here real quick and then come back and get to phone calls. A lot of you on the line, Shirley, Isabel, Matt, James, Betty, we're going to take all of your calls for Dr. Mary Healy, talking about the topic of healing today on Catholic Answers Live, our second hour. Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett. If we have a line open, when it does get freed up, you can join us at 888-318-7884. Post your questions or comments on Catholic Answers Facebook page, or also the YouTube channel. A lot of ways to get a hold of us. You can listen on the Catholic Answers app. We will hear what you have to say and let you weigh in on today's topic when we come back, so don't go away.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking book by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can give to anyone as a starting point for helping them to find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
As the legend goes, the Protestant Reformation began when Martin Luther nailed the list of his grievances with the Catholic Church to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. But do you know the whole story? In Catholic Answers' brand new documentary, The Protestant Revolution, you will hear from top apologists Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Carla Broussard, Trent Horn, and Steve Weidenkopf as they expose the errors of Martin Luther and of the other so-called reformers. This DVD will give you a clearer understanding of our Protestant brothers and sisters, and you will be better equipped to engage them about what separates us and about what unites us. Order your copy of The Protestant Revolution today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting shop.catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Just like the saints of the Counter-Reformation, our own souls are in constant need of reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. We struggle with sin. We become distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. In Reform Yourself, Sean McAfee shows you how these magnificent saints can be guides to your own personal transformation. We all need to reform our souls. Let the saints who reformed the church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of Catholic Answers Live. We're not taking live calls today, but we're glad you tuned in.
Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett today. Great to have you with us. And I just want to, again, remind you that tonight, 6:30 p.m. Pacific time, Christopher Check, Catholic Answers president, is going to be speaking at St. Michael's Catholic Church in San Diego. If you are able to attend, you will not regret it. The topic of his talk is From Hernan Cortez to Our Lady of Guadalupe, and it will also stream live on the Catholic Answers Facebook page. Be sure and like Catholic Answers on Facebook, and 6:30 p.m. Pacific time tonight, you will see Christopher Check's talk right there, live and in person from St. Michael's Catholic Church. And speaking of live and in person, we're going to your calls for Dr. Mary Healy on the topic of healing. Shirley is in Agoura, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Hi, Shirley. You get to go first. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you, Mary, for your book, and I agree with your book. My question is, I am a cradle Catholic, and I started going back to the church about a year or two ago. But I'll tell you the truth. If I really, God forbid, I was sick and needed healing, I would go to a Protestant church where they really cry out to God and they really improve my faith by their strength of faith. And I've had this experience down in Texas, little dusty towns with, like, in the Bible Belt, and it's not a place I would live, but boy, they had faith. And when they told me, you're going to be healed, we lay our hands on you, I believed them, and that lifted me up. And I want to impart that to my local parish. So how do we bring that level of passion to the Catholic Church in our own neighborhood? Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Shirley. That's a wonderful question. And I would say, first of all, there are many Catholics, I know many, who do pray with that kind of great expectancy and great fervor. However, I think you're right that in many cases, Catholics have not simply imbibed a culture that knows how to pray that way. And I think part of the reason is actually a distorted notion of the understanding of suffering. In Catholic theology, we have the beautiful, powerful truth of the value of suffering for our own purification and sanctification, and even our suffering can be redemptive when we offer it up in union with Christ's suffering on the cross. So we have this beautiful theology of redemptive suffering, but sometimes that gets distorted into the idea that if somebody is suffering, therefore God willed it, and we simply shouldn't do anything against it, or we shouldn't even pray for the suffering to be relieved or for the person to be healed. But the ironic thing is that there's no organization in the world that has more, that does more to relieve suffering than the Catholic Church, through hospitals and hospices and orphanages and soup kitchens and so many other ministries. So we instinctively realize that it is right to relieve suffering. It's right to ask God to relieve suffering, that suffering is not part of God's original plan for us. And yes, he can work great good out of it. But ultimately, God's desire for his children is wholeness and the fullness of life and the fullness of health. Now, sometimes a person doesn't experience that until the resurrection on the last day, but that is ultimately God's desire. And so I do see a renewal, a rekindling of a greater fervor, a greater sense of praying with expectancy
that the Lord really does love to heal in answer to our prayers. And I would say, since you have that expectancy and you've experienced what it can be like to pray that way, I think the Lord has probably sent you to kindle it in your parish and to gather others with you who will intercede for whatever specific needs there are, particularly in regard to healing, with the same kind of expectant faith that you've experienced elsewhere. So I encourage you to do that.
What do you think, Shirley?
Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right. Excellent. Thanks, Shirley. Great, insightful question. In fact, all of your questions are very, very good. We're going to get to each one of you on the line right now for Dr. Mary Healy. Isabel is in Houston next, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Hello, Isabel. Welcome to Catholic Answers Live with Dr. Mary Healy.
Hi. Yes. I have a question. My family has suffered from the epilepsy gene. I carry the epilepsy gene. I don't have epilepsy, but my mother had partial epilepsy, and my uncle died of epilepsy. And now my daughter has epilepsy, but it's a gene that mutated, so it's more aggressive on her, and she's only 3 years old. And I want to know if this is if this was caused because of our sins or my ancestors' sins. Is this a chain? How can I cut this chain? I have prayed a lot for her healing and all these 3 years, and she's not. She doesn't suffer like other children with her same syndrome. She has Dravet syndrome, where mm-hmm. she can have 50 or 100 seizures a day, but she does. She's fine. She just has mini seizures. But I do want to know if this is because of our sins, and what can I do to break the chain?
Yeah. Okay. Well, God bless you, Isabel. You're dealing with an incredibly difficult situation, and may the Lord give you continued courage and faith for dealing with that situation in your family. First of all, it's really important to say God did not send you that affliction of epilepsy. God is incapable of willing any objective evil. His will is always for good. Now, he allows it. But he allows it because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that has been deeply, profoundly impacted by sin. And even our genetic line is wounded by sin. In fact, we all inherit original sin from our first parents, and we experience many, many negative consequences because of that. So the affliction that you have in your family is one of the many consequences of original sin. Your question reminds me of the question the disciples asked Jesus when they saw a blind man. Lord, did this guy sin or did his parents sin? And Jesus said, neither. Now, there may be cases where a person could be blind because of his sin or somebody else's sin, but that would generally be evident. Somebody, you know, caused an injury. Jesus is saying we are not authorized to make all kinds of speculative deductions about the sins of our ancestors as a presumptive cause of sickness or affliction or illness in our lives. And instead, he says it was for the glory of God, so that the glory of God may be displayed in him. So in your situation, I would say there is something so powerful about the prayers of parents for their children. We see it in the Gospels. We see it with the man who had an epileptic son. We see it with the woman who had a daughter troubled by a demon, who pursued Jesus, sought healing from Jesus, and Jesus said to that man with the epileptic boy, all things are possible for one who believes. So the gospel really gives us an authorization to pray with great perseverance and faith, particularly as a parent praying for your child. And you can pray that whatever genetic cause there is of that epilepsy being passed down the generations, that it would be broken, that negative effect, whatever caused it in the first place, would be broken, and that the effects would be reversed in the life of your daughter. And I encourage you to pray over her even daily, to put holy water on her, to bless her, maybe every night before she goes to bed. Pray over her, ask the Lord to heal her. And it's also very good to pray about some specific part of the illness. So ask God for healing, some specific thing that you really would like to see improve. And then if you see an improvement, thank God for it. Wrap it up in thanksgiving and ask for more.
All right, this is about thank you for the call. We're going to be praying. All of us, Isabel, will be praying for you, your daughter, your entire family. More Catholic Answers Live, talking about healing with Dr. Mary Healy. Straight ahead with more of your questions, so stay with us.
We as Catholics need to stand strong, to be prepared, to mount a daily defense, to respond to the many challenges that we're presented with every day. Jimmy Akin is here to help. His innovative new book, A Daily Defense, takes up a different challenge for every day, 366 in all, teaching you how you can defend the faith and give answers to Catholics and skeptics alike. Order your copy of A Daily Defense today by calling 888-291-8000, visiting Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Looking for the best and solid Catholic resources that can answer your questions on all things Catholic? Looking for books, audio, and DVDs by the top Catholic thinkers and speakers on the planet today? Consider the shop at Catholic.com. We've got a whole new look with easier navigation, easier checkout, and lots of great new features to enhance your online shopping experience. Our selection is time-tested and apologist-vetted, trustworthy and faithful to the teachings of the Catholic Church. There's truly no better source for solid Catholic resources anywhere on the internet. Visit us today at shop.catholic.com. That's shop.catholic.com.
Did the Catholic Church add books to the Bible? Or did Protestants remove 7 books from the Old Testament? Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger takes you on a fact-filled tour through the history of the Bible, revealing the whole story behind the lost books of the Protestant Old Testament. With the latest information and discourse on crucial issues, Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger is a book that belongs in the library of every serious student of Scripture. And as a special bonus, if you order online, we'll add an e-book copy of 15 Myths, Mistakes, and Misrepresentations About the Deuterocanon to your order absolutely free. Get your free e-book today. Order your copy of Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger by logging on to our online shop at shop.catholic.com.
Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade Meneses.
I enjoy hosting Open Line Tuesday because it gives me an opportunity to connect with our EWTN listeners. We discuss faith, family, fellowship, general catechetics, and pastoral advice. I want to hear from them, what's on their minds, what's on their hearts, and to the best of my ability, be able to guide them as a priest of Jesus Christ.
Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade Meneses debuts January 2nd, 3 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Catholic Answers Live on your radio. I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett today, and good to have you with us here. Catholic Answers Live talks about really just about any spiritual, moral, theological, apologetical issue. Today we're talking about healing, and as we have said throughout the show, this is something that really is often on the minds and hearts of so many of us. We all know, whether it's ourselves personally or someone that we know, is struggling with an illness, an injury, some kind of malady, and we're kind of wondering, where is God in all of this, and does Jesus still heal today? Will he heal me of this? Can we be bold enough to ask for it? Do we just kind of accept it and move on with life? So that's what we're talking about today with your participation at 888-318-7884. Back to your calls. Matt in Orange County, who's got us on Facebook Live. Matt, welcome to Catholic Answers Live with Dr. Mary Healy.
Hi, thanks a lot, and thank you for the book, Dr. Healy. I really enjoyed it. And right now I'm reading Randy Clark's book, There Is More. And I've been to some conferences, and I'm Catholic, and I've seen some really miracles and healings, and the conferences are great. And it seems to me that most of the healings are coming from people with with serious gifts, walking in prophecy and words of knowledge and the gift of healing. And mm-hmm. I'm just kind of wondering how, because I desire that. And I think a lot of people, now that my eyes are open to it, it's desirable to anybody, I would think, that wants to walk in the faith. And how do you think mm-hmm. going about, walking in those gifts and becoming part of this this amazing healing movement?
Yes, great question. Well, my thinking has actually changed on it a little bit as I've studied more closely the New Testament. And, I used to think some people have the gift of healing. That's it. They just have it. And most of us don't. But it says in 1 Corinthians, when St. Paul is speaking about the spiritual gifts, he says, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Well, how do you earnestly desire them? Or some translations say, eagerly strive for the spiritual gifts, by asking for them and by beginning to exercise them. In fact, the way you find out whether you have a charism is to start using it, paradoxically. So I began to ask God that the charisms would be more manifested in my life, and I began to take opportunities to pray for people, pray for healing, etc. And I began to see that gift grow in my own life. So I have much less now of the view that, there are some very special people who have the charism and everybody else doesn't. It's really more like a continuum that, yes, some people have the charism of healing to an extraordinary degree, and they see an extraordinary number of healings and some more remarkable healings. But all of us can ask for it and grow in it and act on it taking little steps in faith and humility, not for our own sake, but for the sake of the people around us that the Lord wants to touch through us. And there are also ways that you can really, if you really sense a need to grow in that gift, or you have a desire for it, I think that in itself is a sign that the Holy Spirit is working. And I would encourage you to continue to watch other people who are exercising the gift, authentic people, not people who are out there for hype or for self-promotion, but people who are really serving the Lord using charisms, and keep learning about it, keep reading about it, keep filling your mind with truth about who Jesus is and what he does, both in the gospel and today. And for sure, I can almost guarantee you will see that gift grow in you, because it really is the Lord's will to equip his whole church to proclaim the gospel with deeds of divine power that manifest the truth of the words. And I think the Lord is just looking for people. I think he's just longing for people who are willing to say yes to him and to step out in faith and to take risks, even when it means sometimes nothing happens. Sometimes you may feel foolish. Sometimes you may make a mistake. But the Lord will use all that, and he will increase the gift in you.
And if I could ask a quick other question, if you don't mind, just really quick. So many of the saints suffered great illness, physical illness and mental illness, whatever, and a lot of them died without being healed. And, there's kind of this thought that, there's no sickness in heaven, so there shouldn't be any on earth, and, we should cast out all sickness. But yet so many saints died of sickness and stuff. So I just wanted to get your thought on how those two kind of mm-hmm. fit, and if we should just kind of mm-hmm. accept that mm-hmm. and walk forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one helpful scripture is St. Paul in 2 Corinthians, where he says that Satan was sent as a thorn in his flesh, and he begged the Lord about it 3 times. Now, we don't know if that thorn in the flesh was a sickness. It might have been something else. It might have been a temptation. It might have been people who were opposed to him. But the key is that 3 times he begged the Lord to take it from him, and then the Lord responded and gave him a sense of peace and acceptance that was very clear and that enabled him to embrace it with joy. So I would say we should pray for healing from sickness unless and until the Lord gives us the same kind of assurance that he gave Paul. my power is made perfect in weakness. So in the case of the saints, the Lord gave them at some point in their life a great sense of assurance that he willed this, and they joyfully, lovingly accepted it as part of their vocation, as something to be offered up as a sacrifice of praise, a fragrant offering to the Lord. And they were able to experience their suffering with great joy because of that. So there's no contradiction between our praying for healing and our recognition that at the same time, the Lord can use our suffering to great effect. And I would say we can keep praying for healing until we get that same sense of assurance and clarity that Paul had and that many of the saints had.
All right, good. Matt, thank you for joining us. Great questions for Dr. Mary Healy today. 888-318-7884, talking about the topic of healing. If you'd like to get in on the program, there is still time. I've got a good portion of the second hour left to go. 888-318-7884. John and Vallejo, you'll be our next live caller, but we got Jared on YouTube, Catholic Answers YouTube channel, who posted this question for you, Dr. Healy. We all know that the Eucharist heals our souls of sin. Does the Eucharist heal our physical bodies also? And then he's got a second part of that question regarding the saints as well. He says, are there any saints who write about Eucharistic healing?
Great question. And the answer is absolutely yes. The Eucharist does, Jesus does heal us through the Eucharist in our bodies as well. And we say that prayer before receiving communion, Lord, only say the word and my soul shall be healed. And because of the way that we say it, my soul, we don't realize that the Eucharist is a healing gift for the entire human being, soul and body. And actually, in the Eastern rites of the Catholic Church and in Orthodox churches, the prayer before communion is very explicit about asking for both physical and spiritual healing. Now, that doesn't mean it occurs every time we receive the Eucharist, right? We know that well. But I think that many of us could approach the Eucharist with much deeper faith, with hearts really open, like the woman who said to herself, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. All these people were bumping into him, jostling into him, and didn't experience anything, but she touched him, and power went forth from him and healed her because she had faith. I think that's what the Lord would love for us to approach the Eucharist with, that kind of attitude that woman had. And already there are physical healings that occur just simply through receiving the Eucharist, but I think there would be more. As for saints who write about that, I don't know of any saints who write about physical healing through the Eucharist, but certainly there's many, many saints who write about spiritual healing through the Eucharist.
All right, very good. Jared, thank you. John, as promised, you'll be next. Got to get a quick time out here, and then Beatrice, and we've got others as well. In fact, Dr. Healy, I used to have a spiritual director who, he's a priest, and he would, when he received the Eucharist, he would just say these prayers to the Lord, like, Lord, your precious blood is actually now flowing through my blood, the blood of my body, and he would just ask God, wherever there is disease, wherever there is infirmity, please be going through my body and healing me, and thanking God for that healing. And also, it was just I've actually taken that to heart and been doing that in my own life as well. So appreciate all of your insights, Dr. Healy. When we come back, John, you're going to be first up on the other side of this break, so don't go anywhere. And there is still time to get others of you on the line. 888-318-7884. What would you like to ask about healing today on Catholic Answers Live?
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
We've all heard the words at the end of Mass,
go forth and announce the gospel of the Lord.
But how exactly are you to do that? In his new book, The Old Evangelization, How to Spread the Faith Like Jesus Did, apologist Eric Sammons takes you back to the source, taking a look at what Jesus did when he preached the good news and drawing out the lessons he taught us.
All evangelization begins with a personal encounter, and so Sammons examines Jesus' most instructive gospel encounters and discovers within each a particular truth that even 2,000 years later can help us make new disciples. Evangelization is not an option, but Christ's express command. What better way to answer this call than by imitating his supreme example? Order your copy of The Old Evangelization today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 10:17, Jesus warned his disciples not to worry about what to say in the face of opposition. "The Spirit of your Father will be speaking through you," he said. "You will be hated by all on account of me, but whoever holds out to the end will escape death." Today we celebrate the deacon Stephen, who witnessed to Jesus. The gospel says that his words stung his listeners to the heart. They ground their teeth in anger against him and rushed at him as one man. As he was being stoned, he prayed for them as he gave up his spirit to the Lord. As in the case of his Lord, his death was a triumph. Saul, who stood by approving of his martyrdom, was to become the apostle to the Gentiles, and one day to meet him in heaven. We Christians are not perfect. We are simply sinners who can be transformed by God's love. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of Catholic Answers Live. We're not taking live calls today, but we're glad you tuned in.
Right back to your calls for Dr. Mary Healy on the topic of healing today on Catholic Answers Live. Going to Vallejo, California. John, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Hi, John. Thanks for holding on through that break. You're up next.
Hi.
Hi, John. Fire away for Dr. Healy. What can she help you with?
Yeah, I would just like to ask, because I'm with the charismatic community, and once in a while they ask me to also help in the healing of people during some of the masses, and sometimes there's something in my heart that would say, am I ready or should I do it? So I don't know. What should I need to do to really go with this charism? And the second question is about deliverance. What's the difference between a praying of healing or sickness and the prayer of deliverance?
Okay, thank you, John. That's a great question. And it shows the humility that you really want to be in the right place to pray with people for healing. I would say very simply, if you're in the state of grace, meaning your life is free from grave sin, you're practicing the sacraments, you're walking with the Lord, you're not in a situation of serious sin, you've gone to confession, then by all means, pray with people. You may be aware that you are lacking in faith. You may be aware that you're imperfect in many ways, that you fail as a disciple in many ways, but welcome to the club. That's the way we all are. The Lord didn't say, let perfect people pray for healing. Let perfect people proclaim the gospel, heal the sick. He just called his disciples to do it. And so really to participate in the healing ministry team for your charismatic group is an act of love, because you're simply being an instrument of the Lord's love for the people you're praying for. And if you feel like your faith is not strong enough, I would say your faith gets stronger by being exercised, just like muscles. They atrophy, they weaken if we don't exercise them. They get stronger if we do exercise them. Faith gets stronger if we pray for healing. Particularly, what's really important is that we're not just praying for the same people in our group, kind of like a closed circle type of thing. We're praying over each other, because that's not the way the Lord meant his charisms to be used. They should be used for people outside the group, outside the church, who are away from the Lord. If you're somehow inviting people in who don't yet know the Lord and they're being evangelized and you're praying with them, you're going to see amazing things happen. You're going to see the Lord do wonderful things because he so loves to touch the heart of the lost sheep that he wants to draw home to himself. So I would really encourage you to do that and not be hesitant because of your own weaknesses. Your second question was about deliverance. There's a very close relationship between praying for healing and praying for deliverance, particularly inner healing. And we see in the Gospels, there are cases, not every case, but there are cases where there's a demonic contributing factor to even a physical illness, as well as an emotional or mental illness. Again, not in every case, but in some cases. And so healing can sometimes involve not only recognizing the wound that is there caused by something that happened, some trauma or some offense that a person committed against you, but that wound also opened an entryway that allowed evil spirits to influence a person, to yank them around, to press their buttons. In fact, we all get influenced by evil spirits. They know how to press our buttons. They know how to cause us to rise up with anxiety or fear or guilt or condemnation. And very often it's because of a wound in our life that led us to believe in some untruth, some lie about God or about ourselves that gives an entryway to evil spirits. So praying for healing can sometimes involve praying for liberation from the influence of evil spirits. A resource that I highly recommend in that regard is the book Unbound by Neil Lozano. And it gives a very, very simple, very clear, soundly Catholic explanation of what deliverance is and how it relates to healing. So I highly recommend that both for people who need healing interiorly and for people who want to pray with others for healing.
So Unbound by?
By Neil Lozano. L-O-Z-A-N-O.
Lozano.
Unbound.
Mm-hmm. All right, John.
Thank you very much for your answer. Really, I'm going to think about it.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Thank you, John. Yeah, somewhere on that bookshelf behind me is a copy of that book, Dr. Healy. I totally join you in recommending that. I mean, it's just the beautiful things that God wants to do in our lives, and we just sometimes don't view ourselves as worthy, or we just think, well, that was back then. God doesn't do those kinds of things now, but we really need to be open to things like that. Okay, James is in Farmers Branch, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio today. Hi, James. Good to have you with us on Catholic Answers Live. Welcome.
Hi. I think there's somebody that really needs to hear this out there, maybe more than one. My favorite miracle of Jesus is in Mark 8:22, when he heals the blind man, but it takes two attempts. It's like the healing is in stages. And so I'd like your host, Doctor, to address that and know that sometimes it's not instantaneous. And also, I wanted to get her opinion on Benny Hinn. Please don't hang up. I
okay.
want to hear this because I can't get reception where I'm at. Please don't hang up.
Sure. Thank you, James, for those questions. I love that healing in Mark 8 because it's so unique. It's only in Mark's gospel. And it's a very odd healing because it seems that Jesus didn't succeed the first time he prayed over the man. He saw people, but they looked like trees walking. That tells us the man wasn't born blind because he knows what trees look like, but clearly his vision is not completely clear yet. Jesus prays over him a second time, lays hands on him a second time, and he's completely healed. So certainly one of the conclusions we can draw from that story is that healings don't always take place instantaneously. Sometimes they occur in stages. Sometimes it's overnight. Sometimes it can be weeks. Sometimes it can be over years that a healing comes to completion. Both physical healings and interior healings can be that way. And Jesus is modeling for us that if a healing is not yet complete the first time we ask for healing, we shouldn't give up. We shouldn't just assume, oh, well, I guess God wanted them to be that way. We should pray again with great confidence. And so I think Jesus wants us to pray with a far greater sense of tenacious faith and perseverance than we're often tempted to do. And your second question, Benny Hinn. I don't know much about Benny Hinn, but I do think there's an authenticity with him. I think his style is very, very different from what we're used to. We shouldn't judge him by our cultural context. He has a different cultural context in the Pentecostal world. I know that he upholds the Catholic Church and has defended Catholicism against those who are detractors of Catholicism in his cultural world. He has a very respectful view of Catholics and the Catholic Church. And I, in turn, respect him. I think he's done wonderful work for the Lord. It's a very different style. It's a more showy style. But from what I've seen, I think he is a man of authentic faith who loves Jesus Christ. And that's the important thing.
All right, James.
Thanks.
All right, thank you very much. Quickly, we're going to go to Eddie in Erie, Pennsylvania, who's got us on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Eddie, about 2 minutes left. So if you can be brief, Dr. Healy can help you out.
Hi, Dr. Healy. I just like to know, here's a good question. Why, if God, if nothing is impossible for God, then why is it that some people are healed and some people are not? Is it scientific, or is it just their time has come, or what would be his criteria? What do you think it is?
Oh, you had to give the biggie in the last 2 minutes. That's a great question. I get it often. And the simple answer is, we don't know. Nobody knows why God heals in one case and not in another. But I do think there's more to it. I think there are some reasons that Jesus teaches us to pay attention to. One of them is, again and again in the Gospels, he tells people that he has healed. Your faith has healed you, or that can be translated, your faith has saved you. So there is a way that he is calling us to a much greater faith than we have. Now, that does not mean that we can ever conclude the reason you weren't healed is you didn't have enough faith, or, you know, I prayed for somebody, I didn't have enough faith. We don't know enough to conclude that. We don't have the right to draw that conclusion. Yet, we do realize the Lord calls us to greater faith, to praying with greater faith. I'd say another reason why some people aren't healed right away is that the human person is so complex. There's such a complex interaction of body and soul. And very often there are things that need to be healed on an interior level in order for the Lord to do a physical healing. There can be obstacles. One of the obstacles that Jesus speaks about in the gospel that blocks the effectiveness of our prayer is unforgiveness. And so he instructs us, whenever we stand praying for anything, forgive as God has forgiven us, that our prayer may be heard. And so one very significant obstacle that once it's removed sometimes releases healing into a person's life is a resentment or a grudge or unforgiveness that they're holding onto in their heart that the Lord wants them to let go of so that he can then release his grace into their life for physical healing. There can be other blocks, such as a sense of unworthiness, a sense that God doesn't care about me, God could never heal me. Sometimes there can be a sense of entitlement. God should heal me because I've done this, this, and this for him. So all of those can block the Lord's healing work in our life. And when those blocks are removed, we might find the Lord does marvelous works of healing beyond what we thought he would do.
Eddie, thank you for the call. Dr. Mary Healy is professor of Sacred Scripture, and you will find her at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. Her book, Healing, Bringing the Gift of God's Mercy to the World. Look for it online, published by our Sunday Visitor. You'll find that at OSV's website. Dr. Healy, thank you. It's great to be able to have this opportunity to spend time together with you again.
Thank you so much, Jerry. Great to be with you, too. God bless you.
I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett today. You can follow me at Jerry Usher and catch me on many of these stations. Take two with Jerry and Debbie, noon and midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, on many of these EWTN affiliates. Talk to you again next time on Catholic Answers Live. God bless.